It is September, and we are very happy to be back. The yellow pamphlet on your way out has an article called Some Helpful Hints, which is always a good idea. Take it, put it in your pocket, take it on the bus, take it on the train. You will be thinking of Theosophy. We have two weekly meetings, Sundays as today from 11 to noon, and doors open at 10:30. Next Sunday's topic is Right Use of the Personality, and it will be the same book that we're using, Letter 13. On Wednesday evenings, we are studying the Bhagavad Gita. We're close to finishing it up. And the assignments for each week are at the book table as you exit the room. The library is a public library, but it's a reference library. Open on Wednesdays from 5:15 to 7:15. You can read the part for the night or references or anything you might be interested in. And there is a helper, volunteer helper, to direct you. At 7:30 then, the meeting begins, and we run from 7:30 till 8:30 on Wednesday night. So the policy of this lodge is independent devotion to the cause of Theosophy without professing attachment to any theosophical organization. It is loyal to the great founders of the theosophical movement, but does not concern itself with dissensions or differences of individual opinion. The work it has on hand and the end it keeps in view are too absorbing and too lofty to leave it the time or inclination to take part in side issues. That work and that end is the dissemination of the fundamental principles of the philosophy of Theosophy, and the exemplification in practice of those principles through a truer realization of the self, a profounder conviction of universal brotherhood. It holds that the unassailable basis for union among theosophists, wherever and however situated, is similarity of aim, purpose, and teaching, and therefore has neither constitution, bylaws, nor officers, the sole bond between its associates being that basis. And it aims to disseminate this idea among theosophists in the furtherance of unity. It regards as theosophists all those who are engaged in the true service of humanity, which we will talk about today, without distinction of race, creed, sex, condition, or organization, and it welcomes to its association all those who are in accord with its declared purposes and who desire to fit themselves by study and otherwise to be the better able to help and teach others. The true theosophist belongs to no cult or sect, yet belongs to each and all. So this morning, we're looking at right attitude. And it's a subject we've been looking at in the Gita for several weeks. And this is put forth just a little bit differently. So we'll have a volunteer present a summary of this, and then we'll discuss it together.
How about a volunteer will sort of read a summary of this? We have to stand all tests alike, praise as well as blame, and often praise is the harder one. But we should not be elated by praise or success, and equally, we should not be cast down by blame or failure. But success in this effort to realize that does not come at once. To start, first, there has to be the recognition of the right attitude, and then in every event, repeated applications to keep trying to express and show the right attitude. And even though things are not yet done with supreme faith, yet faith is there and tends to ever move supremewards. Our ideal is always higher than our attainment. Otherwise, there would never be any progress. We should remember that the real is registered in the inner man, that every effort to subordinate the lower to the higher is an endeavor to live the life. The true theosophist seeks the best means to lead one's neighbor on the right path and to cause as many of our fellow men as we possibly can to benefit. The first test of true apprenticeship is devotion to the interest of another. For theosophy was given for the healing of nations and must be put out in such form as to make it of practical use in daily life.
What struck us first was right attitude. Buddha mentioned right attitude. All the teachers mentioned right attitude. Put ourselves in the condition where we are working for and with the higher and not the lower, because man is dual. He has a higher nature and a lower nature. And the lower nature is needed to be done the work on this plane. But talking on, it's not, I don't know what page it is, towards the end of it, about the service of man and the supreme direction that faith always takes, we can count on that. In the third paragraph, second sentence, our ideal is always higher than our attainment, otherwise there would be no progress. Robert Browning said it this way: our reach should always exceed our grasp, else what's a heaven for? It's a very important idea. So we'd like your thoughts and questions. Yes.
That last sentence you just read was the one that struck us. And we're wondering about, it says otherwise there would be no progress. But wouldn't that also, I mean, if we have an ideal that is always in front of us, something that we can't keep, that we can't make, that we can't achieve, doesn't that then
would it cast us down if we keep seeing this ideal ahead of us and we don't find ourselves able to achieve it? Your thoughts on that?
Yes. It's not that it is an overall ideal that you can't achieve. There are ideals. And as you achieve one, you find that there's another one just beyond that. And that motivates you to go. Like climbing a flight of steps. If you look to the top, you might become dissuaded from trying. But you get the first one, and then the second one, and then the third one. And you keep rising as you find each step. It's not one ideal, it is the ideals ongoing that you're dealing with.
Thank you. Steps are a good analogy. We look at the staircase and think, there's no way I'll make it to the top. But I can do a couple of steps. So we take one, we take two, we take three. And we are working in the right direction, whatever that is. We have a friend who's just awfully depressed about a loss or some situation. But we find the opportunity to talk about reincarnation. Baby step. But for the other, it might mean halfway up the staircase. And with study and practice and application, we develop that habit within ourselves. And that's what we need to be doing. Yes, in the back.
Every step we're able to accomplish is proof to ourselves that we can keep going. The only person we think who would be defeated by not achieving an ideal isn't making any effort.
Yes. The only one who would be defeated by not making that ideal would be
the one who doesn't make an effort.
The one who doesn't make an effort.
Ahead. The one who is progressing by steps may still feel, I'm a million miles away, but I'm a lot farther than when I started.
What is the quote, the journey of a million miles starts with one step? Yes.
Well, the opposite of idealism, mm-hmm, is what we would call realism. And a person who lives his life in this sphere of realism, what a sad, sorrowful life it is, because a realist looks at the world as, this is what it is, I have nothing to do with it, I just participate in it, and nothing gets better because of my efforts. Whereas the idealist uses his mind to create something new, work toward, to aspire to be more. There are plenty of things that we move in the direction of that we attain, there's plenty that we don't. But just the path that we're on to attain that is, you know, just living your life. And an example of that, actually, is the mortality rate of military people. Not, you know, factor the war out of it, during time of peace, when they retire after 20 years, they die typically much earlier than most other people, and it could be that they've lost this continuous ability to set goals and achieve goals for themselves, and they just run out of gas for themselves.
The realism and idealism is an important thought, and we think it's addressed when the article talks about helping others. Because if we have a friend or meet someone who's a realist, we can point out to them the idealism of the world, and whether they adopt a new attitude or not is not for us to worry about. It says sacrifice always is the beginning step. So, important thoughts. Yes, in the back.
Well, if we go back to the title of that right attitude, it's in the nature of the thought that we hold and energize, isn't the external and trying to measure self by the external, it's like pulling up the plant to look at the roots to see if it's grown yet. So that the right attitude is to move through the experiences, whether it's stair steps or a spiral or military engagement and then retirement, no matter what the external is, to move through, but to continue to hearken back to that spiritual core and focus on that.
So Theosophy advises we look within, that spark of deity, that oneness is in everything that is alive. So the possibility of achieving these goals is ever present, is ever supreme words, is what Mr. Crosby uses. Our ideal is always higher than our attainment. So although we might not be aware, and it says that in here as well, we might not be aware we have made progress, we constantly are. Now, it can be, we can work with the Supreme, with the Highest, for one another, as a sacrifice, or we can work for the personal man. It's up to us. But we are forever putting into motion these ideas. And when it talks about the real growth is registered in the inner man, that is, I think it's on page 20. But it's the second side of your sheet. The real growth is in the inner man, and we don't even realize we have moved up a step. But we have to keep working at it and try to become aware of that supreme within, because great nature is there to give us a boost, to help us put ourselves in the right direction. And as was said, the path varies with the pilgrim, but we hope to be of help to one another when we see it. That's part of our duty, yes. Absolutely, and probably most of us grew up with a certain faith. It's a blind faith because we were told, here is what to believe. And if you don't believe this, you can't be part of the group. And that is the wrong kind of faith. That's not what they're talking about. The supreme faith is, as I was saying, that deity within, it's an understanding of or a recognition of that, and understanding that all this work, step by step, is towards that. We can't have a perfected being who didn't have supreme faith and become aware of it. So it's the difference between blind faith, where we're told to believe something, and the supreme faith that we try to figure out for ourselves by this work, by good works. Yes.
Our Gita for this coming Wednesday is chapter 17, which begins with the statement, the soul is gifted with faith, which sounds a little strange, but it really means that the soul is born with and always has the power of faith. Even if we put it in the wrong things, it is one universal power. But as you said, if we begin turning it towards the higher, it will push us supremely.
And it's the kind of faith where we couldn't walk without it. We couldn't think without it. We couldn't feel without it. It motivates and energizes and helps us understand that life is something that is a gift. And we have the power to make it wonderful or make it horrible. And we should ever, ever be working on making it wonderful, which it says at the very end, the first test of true apprenticeship is devotion to the interests of another. Theosophy was given for the healing of nations and must be put out in such form as to make of it practical use in daily life. So that's what we're here for, yes.
We think one practical way, if somebody really means it and says to you, oh, you can do it, I have faith in you, it literally boosts us up a little. Their faith seems to be added to our own.
You lifted my spirits. We say it in different ways, but don't realize what it means. You lifted my spirits. I did? I must be pretty powerful. Wait a minute. But we need to investigate and question and check everything along the way. But it's there for us. That's the life's purpose. Yes.
So can we use a synonym for faith? Can we just say belief? Like if we have faith in something, we can say why it's a belief as well?
That's a tricky question. Can we use the word belief instead of faith? Belief would seem to come from elsewhere. And we take it up. Faith is a part of us, is a part of the universe. So we have to be really careful in our choice of words. You had some ideas.
Well, if you start with a belief, that's reasonable. What else can you do? But you can't put your faith in it until you prove it for yourself. It just stays a belief. Faith leads to knowledge. Belief leads nowhere.
Faith leads to knowledge. Belief leads nowhere.
So maybe we could say there's some kind of a continuum of knowledge that starts with, you know, I believe this, and maybe along the continuum is based on what I've seen. This usually happens. So it's my opinion of this. From what I can tell, I have pretty much faith that this now is true. And there's probably got to be some kind of reason for it, like maybe a demonstration under law of cause and effect that you can have the faith that this, you know, and then when it finally manifests in certain ways very convincingly, you can say, well, I know that this is true.
Right, and theosophy invites us to be ready to give up the beliefs that are not true And that's difficult because we may have held them for a long, long time and we may have shared them and convinced other people. But yes, when we do it for ourselves, it's in the declaration, if I can find the right word. It's the fitting ourselves by study and otherwise to be able to help and teach others as well as ourselves. Pay attention.
Meaning that we had to put our mind at one point what was taking place in front of us as a demonstration by those who had the experience. And if we paid attention, it didn't take us long to learn how to do exactly the same thing. Of course, it's no boy that children would grin. Why? Because we had. We were acting like those older than we were. But pay attention.
Pay attention, and we think that's what this may mean by helping others. invite them into a conversation. Now pay attention. This is what I have checked, tested, and verified and found to be true. It's not a belief. It's not blind. It may help you. I just wanted to offer it. And the checking of it is the most important point, because it is said the perfected beings check all knowledge with one another to make sure that what they are preserving for us is the truth, and that's the only thing we want to share with another. The same was up first.
So along that line about testing, checking, and verifying, you know, which is the final step, verifying is the final step in having faith or something, it's kind of interesting, funny anecdote, but, you know, we know perhaps maybe from, you know, whoever, what was the guy's name who discovered gravity, who do we attribute that to?
Newton.
Right. And then the question was, well, does a feather really drop at the same speed as a rock? And the argument was, yes, it does, except there's resistance, there's air resistance. So eventually, scientists created this vacuum, so there's no air resistance, and it fell at the same speed. So that was good enough pretty much for everybody, but the argument was, but that's not natural. How would we know that it's natural? So one of the cute things that American scientists did when in the lunar landing was they had Neil Armstrong hold a hammer and a feather on the moon where there's no natural atmosphere and drop it, and they hit at the same time and everybody clapped because they were right. You know? So they verified it for sure, finally.
Our favorite was that the flag that was planted there has a wavering edge as if there were wind. But that's a prime example. Going to the ends of the earth to prove something to ourselves and then share it. Yes?
A good example is learning how to ride a bicycle. Our parents and teachers. And we have always said you were not paying attention. I told you to do this. Stop pedaling, thinking that you can make progress without moving our feet. So it seems that experience is the best teacher, whether that experience is coming from an older person or your own experiences. And we try to make those experiences less trying by paying attention to those who have had the
experience is all there is. We can't do anything without it. We can't take any sentence in this article. It doesn't have any practical, can't think of the word. It doesn't mean anything unless there is experience involved. And finding those who have deeper experiences or higher experiences or just have studied more and found more truth, seek those out because they will help. And we're sitting in this room together discussing these ideas, so we're helping one another. But that supreme is within, and we have to get a deeper understanding of that. And it mentioned in the declaration the principles of philosophy, the fundamental principles. You'll hear those every other Wednesday night if you're new, just so you know. Anybody? The real growth is registered in the inner, man. This is next to last paragraph. Subordinate the lower to the higher in as an endeavor to live the life. So real growth is registered within but must be done on the outer planes. So the more we fit ourselves to do the work, the better and the faster we will hit that place where you get that aha, and you get a moment to hold on to a new truth. Now the idea is to keep holding on to it and sharing it and exploring it and checking it. But the three higher principles in man are the seat for perfection. So the work is done on the outer but registers on the inner. As I said, man is dual. He needs the lower here, but the aim is toward understanding the higher. Any thoughts? Yes. The right attitude begins very early in life, and if we are on the wrong path, it is the responsibility of the parent or parents to correct the child and offer different ideas. Yes.
Whatever reason,
consider karma, because the example given was a child comes into a family that has drug problems or alcohol problems, whatever, that should, we would imagine, affect that child. And yet, the child is able to rise above and do well in school and maybe go to college and help his brothers or sisters, whatever it may be. That is his karmic role in that family. That may be just for that lifetime, but karma absolutely is part of all this. But remember that we control karma. It's colorless. We make it good or evil, difficult or easy, you know, pick an adjective. And the effect of that cause will be felt sometime in the future, whether in a future life or part of this life. So I see lots of hands way, way in the back.
In the third paragraph it says our ideal is always higher than our attainment. And there was an old retired football coach who was being questioned on how he trained his players. And he said, I always trained them to achieve perfection, knowing that it was unattainable. But along the way, I just hoped that they'd become excellent.
Yes, the goal being perfection. The path being part of that. So we start here with certain attitudes and certain ideas. And if we have someone like a coach that really sends us in the right direction, we are, it says in the article, we are making progress and aren't even aware of it. But we are. And the change is not noticed. Relying on the Supreme, no effort is wasted, because all creative thought is in the right direction. So we can praise the player who did very well in that game, but it's not necessary for this coach and this player. It's part of the whole experience. Because they weren't cast down, they kept trying. We think it was Einstein, forgive us if we have the wrong scientist, but we believe he was the one, when asked why it took so long to achieve his goal and figure something out, he said, no, understand, I found 99 ways not to do this. And the 100th way was right. So these are not failures. This is knowledge of what not to do and not giving up and not being cast down keeps us going. It's the fuel we need. And when we see another or we know another that is being cast down or having trouble, just reach out. Just just say a word or two. How are you today? Is there anything I can do to make your day a little bit brighter? And you'd be amazed at the reaction. Just try and see what happens. And see how it feels after you do it. So there were lots of hands when we were talking about karma. Do we have questions? Yes.
Well, this could be taken another way, and I'm sure it's intended a different way, but the last two sentences on the first page, it says, one does not desire to preserve the undesirable, but the desirable. The maintenance of the desirable thought and the cessation of the undesirable are the aim that, of course, we first have to really question our motives and our, but one could say, well, you know, this is desirable because it's easily obtainable and it's instant, there's instant gratification here, and then seek that way, that hedonistic way of life. I'm sure that's not what Mr. Crosby meant, but it could be taken that way. That we have to watch, not just we have to caution ourselves to not just seek that which is desirable to the senses.
Exactly.
You know, so.
Exactly. If we add the words to the lower, desirable to the lower man, to the man who may be hedonistic or rajasic or tamasic in that moment. Let's go to the qualities. We don't want to stay there necessarily because there's other things to be done. And it only lasts for a while. So this is telling us stay where the desirable is. I want to understand the Supreme. I want to help my brother. I want to sacrifice. Stay there. Devotion to the One. It's so much the Gita. It's amazing. Yes.
Yeah, and we think that if one does live a life where they're of the senses and the passions and the desires, the lower ones, that they will experience great pain eventually and a sense of ennui or disgust and disillusionment, and then they will seek the other path. But so it's, we all have our journeys. I'm sure we've all gone that route.
Sure. Sure. We're testing everything. It's tempting to do things like that. And we need to remember that may not be the best path. But you're right in the fact that eventually we will have the effects of what we put out there, and it will be bad. In front of you.
Yes, I was wondering, to me it seems in that those last two sentences, you're talking about undesirable and desirable. I'm thinking, well, one thing we're talking about thought. The other thing is, I'm looking at, they may be exchanged interchangeably with positive and negative.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to keep in mind we're talking about thought, as you said, and not a, you know, I'm not just.
Interesting, because thought leads to action. It begins in a thought, and it is, what was it you said, positive and negative.
Right.
It is positive and negative. One does not desire to preserve the negative, but the positive, the maintenance of the positive, the spiritual, the right thought, right attitude, all the things Buddha espoused, and the cessation of the undesirable, unwanted are to be aimed at. So the positive and negative works there, absolutely. Yes. Not only is that an extremely incredible karmic life for her, but also for us. We're talking about Helen Keller. It's an example of what can be done with this kind of positive effort. And we think that part of the karmic return was a gift to us, not just for her to clear out old causes. The physical plane is the last plane karma will expend itself on unless we push it back into the mind.
Well,
yes.
Helen Keller's teacher was Annie Sullivan, wasn't it?
Yes.
And just think of the good karma she had to have that teacher,
mm-hmm.
that she could have stayed locked in her own world if it weren't for someone who knew how to open doors for her. Granted, she had put forth great effort, but she also had fortunate karma in that respect.
And that teacher, Annie Sullivan, was doing exactly what is listed in the last paragraph. It must be the service of man with all that implies in theosophy. In this age especially, it spells sacrifice from the first step, which, as HPB has said, the best means to lead our neighbor on the right path. She embodied that and did it, we think, with the right attitude. And Helen Keller learned. She was able to experience some of life, even with her difficulties, because of that person. Now, that's an extreme example, but anytime there's a crisis, we see people rise and rush to help. That's the sacrifice. It's an extreme sacrifice. Yes.
And those two people in this lifetime were very strong-willed people. And to see eventually, rather the butting at each other, eventually the holding of.
We haven't talked about will at all, and it is the basis for all of this action. And yes, those two, Helen Keller and Ann Sullivan, had to be in sync with one another to make all the progress they made. Strong wills. We all have the power of will. It's how we apply it. And this is an article about how to apply it in the best way. Yes.
So Mr. Crosby's statement in the last paragraph is the first test of true apprenticeship is devotion to the interests of another. That tells us a lot about Annie Sullivan.
Yes. Absolutely. Was your hand up, sir?
Oh, yes. I had to ask you, a lot of times when you obtain information, and a lot of times when it gives you an emotional feeling, because like a lot of times when you hear some people talk, it's like your inner voice lets you know, like, this is true. And when somebody tells you something that's incorrect, like something inside of you lets you know
true. And part of what we're talking about is the intuition. Something doesn't sound right. Go and investigate. Something sounds beautiful, and I can take this and hug it and make it my own. It may sound beautiful, and you may have the intuition that it's truth, but it deserves equal search and checking and verifying. So we would say in both instances, because our intuition is not completely developed yet. We're not perfected yet. But it gives us a hint, a direction to go towards. Sometimes we have that with personalities. We click or don't click with personalities. Try and figure out why. Make a concerted effort to be kind to that person or smile at that person that rubs you the wrong way. Eventually that becomes a habit and you've moved up another step. Yes. How far do we take it before we say, this is not right, I'm not going to spend any time with this? It's really up to each and every one. It's worth checking. If it is not truthful, if it is not inclusive of everyone and everything, if it does not include the idea that we are all one and one with great nature, we're on the wrong path, the wrong idea. Just put it down. Just put it down and pick up a different idea and begin to work on that. It really is up to each one. Yes. Better to understand than to be understood.
But yeah, I think you can, you know, when you get to a certain point, you know, just you understand. You might not be able to interact. You know,
right.
But you understand.
First we understand, then we try to be understood. And if we're not, we let it go. Yes.
So
I didn't know I had it in me. The ability to overcome as well. Part of it all, right suffering, again from the Buddha, right suffering meaning suffering for these ideals is part of the process. Did you have your hand up? No. All right, we're getting close. We have time for one more question. Yes.
Well, it's interesting that today Mother Teresa is being recognized as a saint in the Catholic Church. So believe what you will, but she does embody she does embody this right attitude and repeated applications. Certainly, she's a fine example. He doesn't believe in miracles or intercessory prayer. However, as far as her works go, she does embody this.
Right. Mother Teresa is a fine example of selfless work for others and should be someone we look to, maybe review her life, her actions, what she did to help others. There are people throughout time, known or unknown, who have tread the path, made the progress, and shared with others. That's what we're asked to do. Now, we want to reread from Wednesday night a little quote from the Gita because it fits so well with the idea of not being elated, not being cast down. He who doth not hate these qualities when they appear, nor long for them when they disappear, sits as one unconcerned and undisturbed by them, is not moved by them, is of equal mind in pain and pleasure, to whom a lump of stone or gold are as one, equally minded in honor and disgrace, such a one hath surmounted the qualities. So that's what we're talking about, putting ourselves in the right attitude, the right mind to overcome the lower and seek to the higher. Meeting adjourned.